Tonight we're looking at spiritual survival skills. Spiritual survival skills. Now, when I was in middle school, I read a book that I absolutely loved, and I think I read it a couple times. It was a book called Hatchet. Did any of you guys read a book called Hatchet? Okay. Skimmed. You read it, right? Quote unquote read it. Wrote a report on it and everything. Okay, copy different. Anyways, for those of you who have not read Hatchet, I actually found it. You can read it online as a PDF. Someone found that today. But anyways, I was absolutely captivated by this book called Hatchet. The story goes like this. There is a young boy, and he's heading up to see his father, and he's flying over the Canadian wilderness in a small Cessna plane. In a small Cessna plane, when his pilot has a heart attack, the plane goes down, and it crash lands in a lake in the middle of nowhere in the Canadian wilderness. And he manages to escape to get out of the plane, and so he is left to try to survive in the Canadian wilderness with no way of contacting anybody from the outside world. And I just have vivid images of that first night when he's there on the shore of this lake. He's drenching wet, and the sun is setting, and the mosquitoes are out, and they are in full force in swarms that you and I have don't even know. We are so spoiled here in Southern California. We get like one or two mosquitoes while we're camping. We're like, oh, I hate mosquitoes. You know, we got like get like three bites the whole trip. Some of you guys might get 15. You're just kind of that way. They're attracted to you. But up there, it was like you can't see. It's so thick, full of mosquitoes. He was wearing a warm-up jacket, and he tried to hide into it, and he could hear them tinking against the warm-up jacket because they're just trying to get at him. And they bit him so much that his eyes were almost swollen shut from all the mosquito bites. This guy named Brian, he instantly was thrown into a place where everything was against him. It wasn't too long before his hunger was attacking him, and he had to find food, starting with some berries. Eventually figured out how to hunt some birds and learn how to fish and whatnot. The weather was against him, whether it was drenching rain, hot sun, or in the winter, it was feet of snow and sub-zero temperatures. Temperatures so cold that it would freeze the sap in the tree, and the tree would explode because of the expanding sap in the tree. And there were wild animals that were looking to attack him, from wolves and bears and whatnot. And so Brian, he crash lands in the Canadian wilderness, and he instantly has to gain some skills on how to survive. And the premise of the book is that he's only got a hatchet, okay? So that's why it's called Hatchet. That's kind of his main tool that he has to survive. But he has to figure out how to survive, how to get the skills in order to keep himself alive. And I think in one sense we can draw a parallel to our own spiritual lives. As Christians, this isn't our home. In one sense you could say we've crash landed here. The Bible calls us strangers and exiles. We are in a foreign land. And we're looking to go home, our home being with God in heaven, that we are just passing through this earth. And everything within this world is the world, the flesh, our own flesh and the devil are against us. And there are things that are gnawing at us every day, trying to pull us away from Christ. You and I need to have spiritual survival skills so that we, as strangers in this world, as we're walking through, are going to be able to survive. Because you guys know how there are things that are attacking you every day, that are looking to pull you, sometimes quietly and softly, sometimes loudly and boldly and strongly, are trying to get you off of the path of faithfulness to Jesus Christ. It could be cheating at school. It could be going too far with a boyfriend or girlfriend. No matter what it is, there's things in your life that are seeking to have you make compromises, little compromises that are going to steer you away. Right? You guys have heard the analogy that if you take one step off of a path, and you're not that far away. But if you draw a trajectory, right, and at one point you're only 2 degrees off, but after a while, the 2 degrees ends up and you're really far away. And so little compromises, little steps off the path are actually huge attacks against you that could pull you away from Jesus Christ. And so we need to learn how it is that we can survive spiritually. Now, for many of you, you're only a little over a week out from the retreat, right? We got back a week ago Monday, and here we are a little over a week later. And you know how your week's been. You know whether you've hit pause and have actually endeavored to seek God, or whether another week has flown by and all of that craziness that we've talked about again crowded out your time with God, and you're actually feeling more distant from Him now than when you got back from the retreat. And maybe you had a great week and you implemented some things that you wanted to do and you've sought the Lord and you're feeling close to Him this week, and that's great. No matter where you're at, though, we need to know how to take steps further from here. And so tonight's message, I want to be able to encourage and challenge all of us to continue to take steps forward in our walk with Christ, and to do that so that we will continue to be faithful to the one who created us and the one who died for us. And we're going to see that in the book of Jude tonight. So if you would, open up your personal copy of God's Word to the book of Jude. It's the second to last book of the Bible, in case you're wondering. So you can flip to the end, you'll see Revelation, and then just go back one book. It's a really short book, so if you're in the Johns or the Peters, you've missed it. But Jude. And you see, Jude had the same concern. Jude had a concern for the people he was writing to, that they would remain faithful, that they would survive in the face of attack. And so we're going to learn some great principles here from the book of Jude. Now, we don't usually do this very often, but I want to start by having you with one other person read this book, okay? It should only take you 5 minutes to read. One of you read through verse 11, and one of you pick up in verse 12, okay? And just read the book together, okay? All right. So hopefully you guys have finished. Can any of you guys give me a... let's bring it back together. What's the book about? What's his main concern in writing it? Okay, so seeing some people fall back in sin, what else?
False teachers are popping up around, teaching them false truths.
Okay, main thing, yeah, is false teachers, okay? Key verse, he says, in verse 3 and 4, he's saying he wants to write about the faith, verse 4, but he says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed. And this key thing is that there's false teachers that were going around the first century. Okay, Christianity is very new, and these guys were going around and looking to infiltrate the church and destroy it from the inside. They were like doctrinal suicide bombers that were going inside the church and looking to explode the church with wrong doctrine, and it says that they denied Jesus Christ. These weren't just Christians that had a few things wrong. These were people that were seeking to destroy the faith of other people. And so after giving this warning about, hey, look out for these guys, stay away from them, they're destined to punishment, he then hones in near the end, right at the end of the letter, and gives some instructions on how the true believers in the church were to function and to live in light of the fact that there's these people around them looking to attack them. And so he's really giving them on how to survive and how for them to stay faithful, even though there's these guys around them that are looking to pull them away and looking for them to deny Jesus Christ and to go the wrong direction. And so what we're going to see in this passage is four spiritual survival skills so that we will stay true to Christ in this fallen world. Okay? We're going to see four spiritual survival skills, because we want to stay true, we want to stay on the straight and narrow, we want to follow Jesus, and it's hard to do in this fallen world. And so we're going to be looking in verses 20 and 21, okay? So just two verses tonight. We're going to see these four survival skills, okay? So let me just read verses 20 and 21 just to refresh us on those two verses. Jude writes this. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Okay, so the first survival skill is to keep the foundation firm. Keep the foundation firm. Now, for just a little piece of grammar, I know we don't talk about grammar much, but the Bible is written in words, and there's verbs and grammar and all the rest. Only going to give you one grammar note tonight, okay? So just try to track with me. I know it's not English class, but we're going to look at four different verbs, but three of them have ing at the end of them, and one of them doesn't. The one that doesn't is the verb at the very beginning of verse 21, and it says keep. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And in the Greek, that is the primary verb, and the other ing words are actually supporting words that show you how to further explain what that keeping yourselves in the love of God looks like. Further explains that, but we can really see them all as a sort of having a command for us, and that's how we're going to look at it this evening. So notice verse 20, he says, "But you, beloved." He's speaking to his readers and by extension to us and calling us beloved. We are beloved of God. Those who are Christians, we need to be reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ loves us, that God loves us through Jesus Christ. And that is a great reminder as we are thinking about living our life in this fallen world, to be reminded of the fact that God loves us. But he goes on. Look at the next phrase. He says, "Building yourselves up in your most holy faith." Building yourselves up in the most holy faith. Now, I think a better translation would be to say, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. In other words, you've got your faith as the foundation, and we're to be continually building ourselves, equipping ourselves on that faith that we stand on. And so Jude is looking to these people as there's these people coming in to attack them and pull them astray, and he says, listen, guys, you need to make sure that your foundation is firm. Don't rely on the fact that you had a foundation at one point. Don't bank on the fact that, oh yeah, you've heard some sermons, or oh yeah, I've heard the Bible, or I know some Bible, or I know some biblical truths, and thus my foundation is firm. He says, no. Keep adding bricks onto that foundation. Keep adding to that. Keep making sure that there's rocks there, that there's something that's strong for you to stand on. Build yourselves up on that faith. And he says, basically he's saying, don't be content with the biblical knowledge that you have. I ask you, have you been too content with how much of the Bible and how much Christian knowledge that you have? And you've just kind of coasted on what you've been told? Then let Jude's exhortation to you tonight to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Keep adding to that foundation. Some of you are standing on a foundation so tiny, it's true, it's real, but it's tiny. And God's calling us tonight to don't be content with where we're at. Don't be teenagers who say, oh, I'll add to that foundation later in life. Add to it right now. You go, how do I do this? Well, I want to give you some practical suggestions, okay? I'm going to give you five practical suggestions on ways that you can add to this foundation. You can make sure that the foundation is firm, okay? And fundamentally, it's through, you add to that foundation, you build yourselves up by learning through Bible intake, okay? It's all about how much Bible that you're getting and processing, okay? It's not just obviously making sure it's plain. So the first practical way that you can build yourselves up on the holy faith is by going to church and listening attentively. Going to church and listening attentively. Okay, it's not enough just to go to church and then zone out. It's not enough. You're not going to be helped by staying home. If you want to receive the Bible, get it into your head and into your heart and lay the foundation for your life so that when the storms of life crash against you, you've got something firm to stand on, then we need the Word of God preached to us, and that's why we go to church, and we must listen attentively, follow along in the Word of God, and not receive it as words of men, as good advice, but we come to hear the Word of God preached because it's God speaking to us through His Word, through a human messenger. The second way that we can do this is to listen to sermon podcasts, okay? It was in high school that I started doing this, and the Lord just caused me to grow exponentially. I started listening to sermons on my own. When I was at that point, I was starting to drive. I could drive, and but even my brothers started doing it when they were getting side jobs in the summer. They just put their iPod headphones in, and they cranked through tons of Piper sermons, MacArthur sermons, whatever else, and just were able to grow so much because you're getting some more Bible intake. And if you're saying, you know, I kind of got some free time, I'd like to go running with some sermons playing, I can point you to some good resources if you're interested and you don't know where to look. When I go running, I have to listen to a sermon. I'm not a music guy, and maybe one of you guys are like that too. Some of you are going, that's crazy. I can only listen to music when I run or exercise. But anyways, however you might fit it in, listening to sermon podcasts could be a great way to get some more Bible intake and fill in some of those corners of your day. The third suggestion, read the Bible. Okay, and this is one of the big things we talk about at the retreat, right? Setting aside time intentionally to get into the Word personally. Maybe it's a psalm a day. Maybe it's a proverb a day. Maybe it's just a chapter out of a New Testament book a day. Whatever it is, set aside 15 minutes, half hour to read the Word of God. Guys, this is our spiritual food. This is our spiritual food. We can't, just like Brian needed to learn how to hunt and gather food because he was going to starve out there in the wilderness. Guys, we're going to starve spiritually if we don't get intake of the Word of God. And maybe you know what it feels like to be spiritually starved. You know that feeling of after months and months of not even touching the Word of God, and you barely even know what it's like to open it and to read it and to intake and to learn from God. Let that spiritual hunger and that starvation lead you back to the Word. Read the Bible. Fourthly, read good Christian books. Okay? Read good Christian books. Maybe get them on an audiobook if you have trouble sitting down and reading, okay? Again, I can give you suggestions on this, but this is another way for you to hear the Word of God taught through a book or through some other medium, and ways to challenge you and to give you biblical content. And lastly, number five, discuss the Bible with fellow Christians. Guys, if you are getting together with your friends that are Christians, talk about the Bible. Talk about Christ. Talk about what you're learning. Ask one another, what's God been teaching you lately? I know those questions for me in high school were some of the best challenging ones because it caused me to stop and think and go, how is God, what is God teaching me? This isn't just about reading the Bible and praying and checking it off a list. This is about actually communion with God and learning. What am I learning? What is God teaching me? Talk about it with your friends. If you run into to roadblocks, ask questions. Ask me questions. Ask your small group leader. Ask your parents questions about the Bible, about God, about theology. Grow to learn and build your foundation. I'm sure you guys hear this in school, but be a lifelong learner. As Christians, we never stop learning. We're gonna be continually learning more and more about God for all of our existence. Okay, when we get to heaven, we're not going to suddenly hit a cap and go, okay, I know everything there is about God. No, see, in heaven, we're going to have buckets and water's going to be, knowledge about God's going to be flowing into it and it's never going to fill up. But it's going to be pouring in there infinitely. I mean, we're just going to learn more and more about God because God is that big and He's that magnificent and He's that awesome and He's that unsearchable, as the Bible says. And some of us are so content with such a puny little Sunday school version of God. And we haven't sought to build out the foundation that we're standing on. We've been given a lot, for many of us that have grown up in the church. But those really are just a few rocks for you to stand on. We need to build ourselves up on our faith and build our faith. We cannot survive in this fallen world without eating deeply of the Word of God. It's our spiritual food. Okay, so first is keep the foundation firm. Secondly, depend on, submit to, and rest in the Holy Spirit. Depend on, submit to, and rest in the Holy Spirit. Now we get this from the next phrase in verse 20, that after it says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, it says, and praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Some people have taught from this verse that that means speaking in tongues. I think it has nothing to do with that. What Jude is talking about here is praying in such a way that we submit our will and our lives to God. We want our life to go the direction that the Spirit wants it to go. Right? We talked about this at the retreat. That we, when we pray, we are asking for God's direction. And we are submitting ourselves to God. And so this is our everyday prayer. This is how we are praying to God, is in the Holy Spirit. I just want to camp on these three words that I've chosen. These are just three words that help kind of fill out what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit. The first is to depend on. Depend on. We're trusting in the Spirit's power to work. In other words, when you pray in the morning, you ask God to help you through your day, and you ask God to keep you from temptation, and you ask God to cause you to be a spiritual witness for Him among your classmates, you're depending on the Spirit to do that work in you. You're praying in the Holy Spirit in such a way that you're saying, Holy Spirit, you must work in me because I cannot do it on my own. Praying in the Holy Spirit is a confession of inability. You're saying, God, I can't do it on my own. God, please help. I can't do it. That's one of the ways that praying the Holy Spirit means. Secondly, it means to submit. We're bringing ourselves under the Holy Spirit's will, which we get from the Word of God. So as we're studying the Word and we're learning how God wants us to live, then we pray and ask God to conform our heart and life to fit with that. God, cause me to walk in obedience. God, cause my words and my actions and my emotions and my thoughts to all fit in accordance with your word. God, I want to be a representative, an ambassador for you. I want to be an image bearer to show Christ off in wherever I'm at. And so we're submitting our life to what he has. And lastly, we're resting in. We're not anxious and we're not praying in anxiety and going, oh God, I'm worrying about things. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're resting in what God is going to do. God, you have this under control. I can rest in this. That's praying in the Holy Spirit. Is that we're trusting that God has everything under control and is taking care of things. And so I ask you guys, when you pray, do you pray in such a way that is anxious or that is demanding God for things? Or is it depending on God? Is it submitting to Him? Is it resting in Him? This is how we will survive in this world. Guys, we cannot survive spiritually if we are not talking and depending on our Creator on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. When we cut ourselves off from the lifeline, we cannot expect to continue to survive. When a branch is cut off from the tree, it's only a matter of time before it wilts. And if we are cutting ourselves off from communion with God, then it is only a matter of time before we wilt spiritually as well. Thirdly, review the gospel, obey His word. We now get this from the phrase in verse 21. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now this phrase is kind of strange. You know, it's basically saying, keep yourself in God's love for you. And you can think of it like this, as if there's an area of your life in which the love of God exists. And Jude is speaking in such a way that there seems to be a way in which we can step outside of that area of God's love. Now, as believers, God always loves us. He always accepts us through Christ. But there are times that we can earn God's favor and blessing, or we can earn His discipline, even as His children. You guys know this in your own homes, right? Your parents haven't disowned you, but there are times they can be very happy with you and times they can be very not happy with you, right? And so depending on how you live and the decisions that you make could be the deciding factor of whether you're sitting in their favor or whether you're sitting in their disapproval. And the same way with our relationship with God. We are still God's children. No one can snatch us out of God's hand. But our decisions and how we live can be the difference between us living in God's favor or us deserving His discipline. And the scriptures are clear that God disciplines those whom He loves. And so I think the best way to help us understand how we can keep ourselves in the love of God is, number one, to review the gospel. We need to remember that God loves us. And we need to remember that we are loved by the Almighty. Guys, don't forget that. We keep ourselves in the love of God by reminding ourselves that God, the Holy One, loves us. He loved you so much that He gave His Son to die upon a cross, to die a death that you deserved, to save you from wrath. He so much wanted to take you from His wrath and put you in His love that He sent His Son to die for you. We need to remind ourselves of that. That God has worked. He's reached out and He's grabbed us. He's come to get us. So we need to review that good news, review that gospel. But on the flip side, we also need to obey. Jesus says that abide in me. He says, and you will abide in me if you keep my commandments. You see, you can't just stay in the gospel and go, oh, God loves me, and then live however you want. The Bible is pretty clear that if we are following God, we need to also obey His word and obey what He says, and we're not going to know how He wants us to live if we're not in the word of God. So, we need to be in the word, and we need to be reviewing the gospel and then seeing that we're living it out in our lives, so that we keep ourselves in the love of God. Fourthly and lastly, the fourth survival skill is to look forward to the reunion. To look forward to the reunion. Let's look at the last phrase of verse 21. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. The last thing that Jude is trying to tell his readers here, and he wants us to get tonight, is that we are to have a on the edge of our seat kind of waiting and expectation for Jesus Christ coming back. And you see, we can be on the edge of our seat excited and expecting it because Jesus isn't coming back to judge us. Although we deserve to be judged for our sin, notice what he says we're going to receive. We're going to receive mercy. Jesus, the judge of all, is coming back, and we aren't going to receive justice. We're going to receive mercy. And that is a great hope. That is a great joy that we can look forward to. That Jesus is coming back to get us, and He's giving us mercy. Guys, let that truth that Jesus is coming to give you mercy, even though you deserve to be punished for your sins, let that excite your heart. And he says that waiting results, that mercy results in eternal life. We're going to live forever with him. I don't know about you, but I know that I can get so caught up in the day-to-day and the here and now and what's tomorrow and what's next year and what's coming in this life that it's easy to lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back, and it could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be this moment. Literally. He's coming back. And it's real. And it's soon. And the Bible tells us that should give us hope. You see, we can, as we're walking through this world, it's pretty dismal. There's a lot of disappointments out there. I'm sure you've already experienced many of them. Maybe you're dealing with some of those disappointments right now. But see, this world is empty. Pale and poor, as the song says. And heaven is real. And there's a true inheritance waiting for us. And so Jude is reminding his readers here and reminding us that this isn't all there is. Let's look forward to the goal. Let's wait for the reunion when we actually meet Jesus Christ face to face. We've got to keep that on our mind. We live in an age in which materialism reigns. What you see is what you get, and don't you dare suggest that there's something more. Don't bring faith into this. We're only dealing with the facts. We're only dealing with science. And so it pushes our faith and our spiritual vision of life to the corners. You can talk that way when you're at church. You can talk that way when you're in the privacy of your own home. But don't bring any sort of faith into the public square. But guys, we need to realize from Jude that this is absolutely key to our survival in this fallen world. Now, we look at these things, and it's easy to go, okay, I can do that. Okay, I'll read the Word, I'll pray, I'll try to obey God and look forward to Christ, and it can feel like this stack up of all these things that I have to do, and you're already, before you even get going, you're already feeling the failure because you know that you're going to fall short at some level there. And Jude knows that. I want to close by giving you the encouragement that he gave his readers at the very end of his book. And in summary, it's this. Your salvation and your staying true doesn't ultimately depend upon you. Yes, all these things we're talking about, we got to pursue with all of our might and with all the effort that we have. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the reason we're going to get to heaven and the reason we're going to make it to the end and stay true to Christ is because of God. And we should worship Him for that. Look at verse 24. We'll close with this. He says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." So Jude gets done telling us that we need to be on guard, keeping ourselves in the love of God, and then he ends by saying, it's God who's going to keep you from stumbling. It's God who's going to present you before His own presence blameless. And guys, that should humble our hearts. Guys, we all know deep down the sin and the wretchedness and the corruption that sits within our own hearts. And yet, there is going to be a day when God is going to present you before Himself, and you, yes, you, if you're trusting in Christ, will be blameless. Your record is going to be clean. There's not going to be one sin, one lie, one lustful thought, one bad word on your account, because God is going to keep you from straying, and He's going to present you blameless. And that should cause us to worship. Cause us to worship God, and it leads us right back into our survival skills. We need to be setting forth to pray and to read and to study and to obey, because God is keeping us. Because God is keeping us. So guys, as you're starting this next semester of school, and you're heading out, and the retreat we talked about, seeking God, I just want to encourage you. God is on your side. God is with you, empowering you. But don't slack. Don't grow weary in doing good. Keep pressing on. Keep seeking Him. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep studying His Word. Keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep drawing close to Him. And you will see your foundation grow. You will see your heart grow in love for God. And you'll see yourself grow more into the image of Jesus Christ. Let me close in prayer. Our loving Father, I thank you that you in your grace look upon us, filthy sinners, with mercy. That you have provided a way for us to be blameless. You've provided a way for us to have salvation, even though we deserve condemnation. And Father, I pray that each person here have reconciled with you, that they have repented of their sin and they have turned to faith in Christ, believing that he took the punishment they deserved. And for all those who are walking with you, God, would you continue to keep them? I pray that as they step out into this week and they go to school tomorrow, and they're on their sports teams and their other extracurricular teams and hanging out with their friends, God, would you keep them on the straight and narrow? Would you bring the gospel to mind? Would you cause them to depend upon you and to rest in you? May they be young people who live close to their God. And I pray that you would work in them by your Spirit for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.